So, what makes the original Hooters so special? Everybody wants to know our secret recipe. The answer is simple. We care about our people, the food we serve, our guests, and the community around us. We created a unique experience like no other, like watching your favorite team with an ice-cold beer and world-famous chicken wings served by a legendary Hooters girl. What could be better? To us, originality isn't just one thing. It's everything. Hooters, always original.
The question is, stacked or screwed? I review a recent fantasy draft of mine with some people you may have heard of on this podcast, or if you live in the greater Tampa Bay area, you know who they are. This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks to Hooters for their continued presenting sponsorship of what we do. Visit originalhooters.com if you are in the greater Tampa Bay area for information on locations, hours of operation, and easy online ordering. Emails are lighting up. Thank you. If I haven't acknowledged your email yet, some I have, some I haven't. Some fantasy draft results from you are coming in. There's going to be an entire podcast reviewing that. It's coming up. Write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. If you, like me, had a fantasy draft over the Labor Day weekend, please send me the results of your draft. The easiest thing to do, I think, and a few of you have done this, send me a screenshot, a picture of the draft board, and then make some comments, make sure I know who you were, any specific rules, tell me who you like from your draft, who you didn't like from your draft, all of that stuff. Even yesterday, speaking of Hooters, so we, nice to have friends. Yesterday in the Tampa Bay area, specifically Tampa, the morning weather was brutal. It woke me up, and not much does. It woke me up with vicious thunder and lightning, which got me immediately concerned because I'm hosting a fantasy draft at one of my golf clubs later that afternoon. Sure enough, because of the storm and the rain associated with it and the fact that the course was already wet from the last couple of weeks, they closed the golf course. So I immediately had to get to work talking to the general manager, the director of golf, and coordinate that the doors to the clubhouse would remain open for us. And I had booked this event weeks in advance, but they could have easily said, Todd, we're sending everybody home by 11 a.m. Sorry, can't help you. I would have come up with an alternate location. I would have understood. West Chase Golf Club kept someone around all day to keep the doors open, basically paid him to watch U.S. Open golf and college football in the golf shop because no one's playing golf. Now, by the time we're drafting, it was a nice day. There were some people with their own golf balls on the putting green, which is allowed. But still, no golf at all. No range, no nothing. Yet they kept an employee there to keep the doors open for us, provided we were going to be gone no later than 6 p.m. I assured them we'd be done by 5:45. We walked out the door at 5:30. So thanks to West Chase Golf Club for accommodating us. Let me review what we did in our draft in one of my leagues. I'm actually in three leagues now. One as an emergency fill-in and kind of a fun league. I did recap that on an earlier podcast. And it has odd rules, but it gave you an idea of players I like or players that fell to me that I didn't plan to draft, but the value was too good. All drafts are different. So this draft, specific to this league, this is a league that Bill Curry Ford, a partner of mine, has been involved with. Sean Sullivan, general manager Bill Curry Ford, has been involved with for a number of years. Last year's champion was the captain. And the captain returning the previous year, Sean won the league himself. I've won this league in the past. And we have some fun people. Some from the public eye in the greater Tampa Bay area who play in this league. So in order of draft selection, and you chose a bag of snacks that was connected to you choosing your draft order, the first four, based on the snack selection, all chose to pick in the first four, which I thought was interesting. I don't know that that is usually the case. I'm sensing most people want to pick near the middle, middle-ish, rather than pick early. But those who had first, second, third, and fourth opportunity to choose a draft position in a snake draft of 12 all chose the first four spots, not necessarily in that order. All chose the first four spots. I had the fifth choice. I went to what I call the transfer spot. Two reasons. One, I like taking two players at a time. Two, I'm running this draft. We did the entire draft in 73 minutes with roughly a 10-minute break that Ira needed to go to the bathroom. Yes, Ira Kaufman from JoeBucksFan.com is in this league. He's trying to win his first ever fantasy championship. He's come a long way playing fantasy football. I beat him head-to-head for a title, three, 4 years ago. So I chose the 12th spot. It's, as I think I've talked about here on the podcast, if you pick in a snake league, if you pick first or last, you have half the work. If you can be patient, you work half as much as everybody else. Everybody else picks one player at a time. You pick two. Do the math, figure it out. It's less work. So this allows me to monitor and maintain the league. And we handled it very efficiently. So the draft order was Peter, Bengal Ralph. So there's Bengal bias there. First time ever, T-Kraz from Sports Radio 95.3 in Tampa Bay joined us for this fantasy league. Sean Sullivan from Bill Curry Ford. Dennis Phillips, chief meteorologist, ABC Action News, now what, ABC 28, Tampa Bay 28, I'm still learning it, and co-workers with the great Sean Daly and Nadine Giannis. Joe from JoeBucksFan.com, who hasn't played in years, specifically asked if he could play this year. Absolutely, you're in. Ira Kaufman next, then the defending champ, the captain, followed by Doc and Drew, that's Drew Garabo, from 102.5 The Bone. Doc does the drafting. Drew maintains the roster sort of as the general manager. Then Rob from the Todd Wright Tour, who unfortunately didn't bring his fun wife. We had no bar service. That was the one condition of keeping the club open. There would be a golf shop employee only. No food and beverage service in the dining room. So Rob's wife, Kristen, was like, yeah, I'm out. So I respect that. That's why Kristen's very cool. Rob, you're a lucky guy. Scott chose next, and who I didn't know was an Austin Powers fan, and then me. So I began this podcast by saying, I won't recap the whole thing. Not going to bore you with the whole thing. And I always say I try to make these podcasts fast and efficient, and I fail. So I say I'm either screwed or stacked. I chose running backs, two that I really like, at picks 12 and 13. Also, the first round was extremely running back heavy. The top part of the draft was very running back heavy. Not my opinion, but early to mid, early rounds, Dennis Phillips, who, if you don't know, loves fantasy football as much as he loves his job, as much as he loves his suspenders, as much as he loves Diet Dr. Pepper. Dennis looked over his shoulder. His back was actually to me. I don't know if that was strategy or not. He glances over his shoulder at one point at me and looks at me and says, I've never seen this many running backs go this early. And he's in a lot of leagues. And he's a Saquon Barkley apologist and didn't get him at the fifth pick. So at 12 and 13, I chose guys that I've told you on the podcast. One, I did an entire podcast on. I did a television segment on Spectrum Bay News 9 and Spectrum News 13 in Orlando, Central Florida. And then another guy who helped me win a championship 2 years ago, who played every game last year other than the game that the Rams didn't want to win at the end. So I went Josh Jacobs and Kyren Williams, 1-2. Now, this is a league where you can only play two running backs. That's it. My leagues play this way. You have 13 players, so the draft is 13 rounds. Keeps the draft manageable. You start 7, you sit 6, there's no IR. So if you have an injured player, you have to decide, and it's a significant injury, you have to decide, are they worth a bench spot? Or, yeah, I got to let them go, and then maybe I can pick them up. So I took Jacobs and Kyren Williams. Now, I haven't done this yet. I'm going to compare how many other teams in this 12-team league, and you can't flex a running back. You have 2 spots to play a running back. That's it. You play 1 quarterback, 2 running backs, 2 wide receivers, a wide receiver or tight end. That's my mandatory tight end. Not necessary. You can go the entire year, never own a tight end, never start a tight end, because there are so few that are significant. And 1 kicker, and the kickers only get the points they score on the field. If they kick an extra point, they get 1 for you. If they kick field goal of any length, they get 3. I don't care if the field goal is 21 yards or Cam Little from 70. They get 3. And you know what? These bonuses for 40 to 49 and 50 in your league should be going away. Why? The percentages that they are made now. These aren't out of shape little guys or fat guys kicking a ball anymore. These are full-scale athletes, and many are former soccer players that dimension-wise, weight-wise, athletically, are significantly better than the previous generation of kickers. So if the bonus points being awarded to kickers in standard leagues, and I changed this years ago, should go away. Every field goal should be worth 3. That's it. Just like every extra point is worth 1, and I don't have any penalties anymore. If a field goal kicker misses a kick, you already lost points by him missing. You don't need to lose double points. Well, I would have had 1. He missed the extra point. Now I'm down 1. No, we don't do that. So let me see how many other owners went running back in my 12-team league, basically getting their 2 starters in the first 2 rounds for those 2 positions. Peter didn't do it. Ralph didn't do it. T. Kras didn't do it. Sean didn't do it. Dennis Phillips didn't do it. Joe didn't do it. Ira didn't do it. And Ira loves doing it. Morgan didn't do it. Doc didn't do it. He has 1. Rob did it. And Scott did it. So the only 3 of the 12 teams in our league, in this league, that went running back, picked 10, 11, and 12. So from 10 overall picks, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, were 6 running backs. In front of that, here was the first round. Ja'Marr Chase, then Saquon, Bijan, Gibbs, McCaffrey. There's 4 running backs right there. Then Lamb, Jefferson, then Henry, 5. So 5 running backs went in the first 8 picks, and then 7 straight picks, end of round 1, start of round 2, picks 10 through 16 were all running backs. Yeah. And granted, we are standard scoring. We're standard. This is 21st century modern fantasy football, because teams throw the ball more than they run. Maybe the Chargers don't, maybe Canales doesn't. But teams throw more than they run. So the extra point for a guy catching a fucking ball is outdated. Wide receivers basically have as many opportunities as running backs based on the percentages of play calls. So, and then you factor in what the wide receiver does, what the yardage he gains. So again, I go Jacobs, Kyren Williams, at 12 and 13. Just so you know, the 7 running backs in a row that went from picks 10 through 16, Jonathan Taylor, Achane, Jacobs, Kyren Williams, Irving, Gentry. I would imagine that may be one of the few fantasy drafts where Gentry isn't going in round one. And then Chase Brown went after Gentry. Other running backs to go in round two were James Cook and James Conner. So here's where I ask the question at the top of the podcast. I'm either stacked or screwed. Again, it's a seven-starter league. You can only play two running backs. You cannot flex a running back. Here's where I'm stacked. I was the first guy to get his two running backs. Whether you agree or disagree with what I did, I'm the first person to draft both positions. Part of why I love Jacobs and Williams is because of how much they play, how much they have the ball, how often they touch the ball inside the 20, inside the 10, inside the 5, how often they score, their consistency, their volume. Sure, both have dealt with injuries, but I see enough to say, yeah, I like them enough to believe they will play through most injuries. And there's injury risk with all players. You just have to minimize it. Or you have to look at it and say it's not as significant as somebody else. So here's where I'm stacked. I got my first two backs before anybody else. And these are two guys that I've never owned Josh Jacobs and always wanted to. And I've owned Kyren Williams and he's helped me win a title. And they have coaches who are offensive, head coaches who are offensive guys who will feed them the ball. And in key spots. Where I was going to make one more point about being stacked. Can we also say they're on two teams who are Super Bowl contenders, who should score points, who should be good, who have defenses that could help the game flow, them being fed, playing from the lead. All those factors are there. So I'm stacked. If Jacobs and Kyren Williams do what I want them to do, other than their bye weeks, they're going to play every week. Every week, Jacobs and Williams will play. I'm stacked. So don't forget, just I'm looking at my running backs. I would be stacked at that position, as I was 2 years ago when I won a championship. I had McCaffrey, I had Kyren, I had Gibbs, and I could only play two. Here's where I'm screwed. I didn't pick another running back until round 10. And I felt I reached for Ollie Gordon, but I wasn't going to pick again until the end of round 11. And I didn't think Ollie would be there. So many running backs had gone off the board. I could have had my choice of any Jaguar running back. I could have had ETN. I could have had Bigsby. Anyone I wanted, except Fred Taylor. Not available. And not getting into the Hall of Fame either. Longest run for a touchdown in postseason history in the game that sent Jimmy Johnson and Dan Marino into retirement. That game was so significant. Go back and check it out. Jaguars-Dolphins playoff game. The Fred Taylor run. The end of Jimmy Johnson. The end of Dan Marino. Then I took Scadabo, who I know, how injured is he? What's his role going to be? But if Tyrone Tracy starts fumbling right away, or Scadabo gets out there and starts doing great things, how are they going to keep him off the field? And then I took Sean Tucker in round 13 because I just, you know, I have this feeling that Bucky Irving's not going to get it done the way everyone, so many, think he's going to get it done. I think Tucker is actually going to be a legitimate choice to get carries on goal to go for the Buccaneers. Yeah. That Tucker could vulture Bucky this year. Now, I took Tucker with the 13th pick. He's Mr. Irrelevant in our draft. Will he even be on my team by week two? Or will I be like, yeah, I can pick up Sean Tucker later? Probably not, because of all these other Buck fans who play in my league. But will he stay on my team? We'll see. But I think Tucker is going to be a fantasy vulture to Bucky Irving this year. But the point is, it's an abyss. Pre-flop, Gil Alexander Veasan term, before the season starts, from my starting running backs to my bench, I have Jacobs and Kyren. If anything goes wrong with either of them, as of right now, I've got no backup I can really count on pre-flop. I have Ollie Gordon, Scadabo, Tucker. Could I pick up someone on waivers this week? I could. I might. There's one already that I'm eyeing. Our league hasn't gone live yet. So, for those of you wondering, well, who'd you take instead of a third running back from rounds 3 through 9? Glad you asked. Round 3, I took Mike Evans. Round 4, I took Baker Mayfield. I didn't think I would do that. But you know what? Much like Jacobs, much like Kyren, I don't think Mayfield's going to miss a game. So by taking Mayfield, I don't need a backup quarterback until week 9, and I can plug and play for 1 week. Baker throws, right, the last couple with the Bucks. Right, with the Bucks, Baker has more touchdowns than any other quarterback. He also has more picks than any other quarterback. All right. Baker likes to take off and run a little bit, just enough to supplement his fantasy return. Also, Jalen Hurts was gone. I will say, as picks were getting close to me in the transfer spot, end of round 3, start of round 4, I already got my running backs. I've had this happen to me before, where just guys, they're so close, you can taste it. It's like an oasis. And then in the picks before you, they're gone. Pick 9 in round 3 was Brock Bowers. I would have taken him. Pick 10 in round 3, there's Rob, who already has his 2 running backs. He took Jalen Hurts. I would have taken Hurts as one of my 2, end of round 3, start of round 4. So if it wasn't for Doc and Rob, good on them. I take Bowers, Hurts back-to-back, round 3, round 4. Bowers goes off the board, Hurts goes off the board. Scott takes DK Metcalf. I'm not really interested. I take Evans and Mayfield. Then round 5, I took Kittle. I thought the value was too good. We all know Kittle puts up big games. Yes, he gets hurt, but as of right now, who else is Purdy going to throw to? Mid-range, down the field. Who? I understand some of you will make a case right now for the number 1 pick out of the University of Florida from last year. But is he really a wide receiver 1? Can he really handle that role? What else do the Niners have to start the season? I think Purdy looks for McCaffrey and Kittle. Then I got in on Ben Johnson action. I think that's one of the things out of fantasy draft. Don't overpay, but get a piece of Ben Johnson. He knows offense. He knows how to scheme. He runs trick plays. He gets the ball. Look at what Ben Johnson may have been to Jameson Williams, what Jordan Addison was to Kenny Pickett. Without Ben Johnson, can the Lions get the ball to Jameson Williams? Do the Lions put up with Jameson Williams' shit? Will Jameson Williams end up a Bear in a year or two? So I got DJ Moore, the clear wide receiver 1 for a Ben Johnson offense. I drafted Matthew Golden. He actually starts the year potentially on the bench. Rookie wide receiver for Green Bay. Again, good offense. Who else do they have? I did take Tyler Warren in round 8. It's a little bit of a man crush. I have no skin in the game with Penn State or the Colts. I just think Tyler Warren has the potential to do great things this rookie season and maybe get some cheap touchdowns near the goal line. Direct snap, tush push, wildcat, whatever you want to call it, because I don't think Daniel Jones is doing that. Granted, Daniel Jones has run the ball a bit in the past. They have Jonathan Taylor. But Tyler Warren did that at Penn State. I can only play one tight end. Two of my first eight picks were tight ends in a non-mandatory tight end league. But I believe in Kittle and I believe in Warren. And let me just give you the four pass catchers that went in front of Tyler Warren to show you what was left. Jordan Addison, who's going to miss three games. I still like the pick. Jaylen Waddle. I know that's later than most leagues. This is the eighth round. Stephon Diggs. Then Jerry Jeudy, who doesn't have Jameis Winston to feed him for a month anymore. So then I took Tyler Warren. Then I took Keon Coleman. I like that some others are bigger on him than me this year. I was bigger on him last year. I thought he'd have the better rookie season than Xavier Worthy. I was wrong. Maybe Keon Coleman will take another step, will connect more with Josh Allen this year. You know, you got a lot of guys there in Buffalo. It's like, who can anyone they currently have, and then they added Josh Palmer, be a legitimate number one pass-catching target for Josh Allen to help the Bills better position themselves and beat the damn Chiefs in the playoffs? Is it Palmer? Is it Keon Coleman? Is it Shakir? Is it Dalton Kincaid? Who the hell is it? Or do they still not have that guy? Then I took Ollie Gordon Scadabo. Butker's my kicker. And then Tucker. That's the results from my 12-team QB, RB, RB, wide receiver, /tight end flex, non-mandatory tight end kicker league. Thanks to everyone who participated. Thanks to West Chase Golf Club for accommodating us. What do you think? Continue to send me the results of your draft and offer an opinion. Am I stacked or screwed with what I did at running back? Write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. We'll be cranking out more podcasts before the season begins on Thursday, and then it's only one game, so there'll be more podcasts before we get to the Sunday action. I know we have the Friday game, and unlike Jason Kelce, we are allowed to be involved with that game on Friday between the Chargers and the Chiefs. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters and Brandon Legal Group. Thanks for listening.